Hi guys, I'm traveling from Salt Lake City, Utah, specifically Draper, to Erie, Colorado to go see my son. This is my podcast, Mixed Metaphysics by Zoe the Peacemaker. Check out lucidvibes.net for all of your sacred geometry geek needs and crystals. All kinds of fun stuff. There's my commercial. That's it. Cut. I'm just kidding. It's like, end it. Like 46 episodes. What's he doing? Just doing commercials. It's weird. What's even weirder is I just keep listening to him. I'm like, episode 48. What's this about? Ah, you got me. Got me, Genzo. Traveling, and I thought I'd talk about traveling. And how genetically some of our ancestors used to farm and settle down, and they were comfortable that way. And some of our other ancestors followed the hawk. No, they followed the caribou and the buffalo and the deer. They adjusted. Their food source was constantly moving, so they were also. And on one side, I could see how this could be kind of a pain. Probably hard to gain ground or get a foothold anywhere. But on the other hand, you never had the same mountains to look at. Meaning life was never stagnant. Life was never boring. Things were always changing. You didn't know what was going to happen next. And for some people that freaks them out. And for other people, that breathes life into their soul. I happen to be the latter. I like some things to be consistent. Like, I like my business to be consistent. I like my relationships to be consistent. But even within those things, no 2 days are ever the same. It's weird because being a creative person, like, think about any artist or any musician in history. Were they ever known to be overly cautious or boring or normal or well-balanced or reliable? Maybe some of them are grounded, right? Like, some of them had a good, maybe some of them had a good street smarts or business sense, but for the most part, creativity and chaos come hand in hand. And normalcy and consistency and reliability go hand in hand as well. So I don't think there's a good or bad way to live life. You just have to figure out which one you are. Are you the farmer? Do you like to have all your ducks in a row? Do you like to wake up with the sunrise and go to bed with the sunset every single day? Do you like to have lists and your chores and your schedules and everything sort of figured out for you? Or are you more of the type that likes variety and change and can sort of, you know, switch on a dime depending on what is happening that day? And do you thrive in that environment? Sometimes I used to use this analogy. It's not even an analogy, it's an example. I used to use this example when I was doing training for marketing for light workers, teaching light workers how to do their marketing and sales. And what I said was, oftentimes when you're building your team, you have to be able to distinguish the difference between what Napoleon Hill called your dynamos and your caretakers. Your dynamos go out and make these outrageous claims and they do all your sales, and your caretakers are the ones who make sure that the lights are on, the bills are getting paid, and that all of these outrageous claims and all of these promises are being fulfilled, are being kept. You gotta have both. And if you take a caretaker, somebody who likes to be behind a desk, and you go put them out on the field, they're gonna be miserable. And they're not going to perform, and they're not going to make the sales you want. So you're not going to be happy, and they're not going to be happy. And oftentimes we try to put this round peg in a square hole. And vice versa, if you take somebody who likes to be out there interacting with people, they don't want a steady paycheck, they want to see how much they can make. You know, they're commission-based or reward-oriented. Put them behind a desk, he'll be miserable. They'll be disorganized. They won't keep any of your appointments straight. So they won't be happy and you won't be happy. You know, square peg, round hole. So, you know, I think a lot of the, sometimes depression comes from the fact that we're trying, it's like we have all this pressure to be a certain way. It's like, maybe you have that nomad gene in you. They say 20% of us have this nomadic gene that like thrives on travel. And maybe like we're a round peg trying to fit in a square hole. Maybe we're telling ourselves, mom wanted me to be a doctor, mom wanted me to be a lawyer, or, you know, maybe you're a dad and it's like, you can't just, you know, bail, like you have to provide and you have to be there for your kids. So like, you might have the nomad gene, but you have to stay in this place in order to provide for your kids, like, which isn't necessarily true because there are traveling salesmen and some traveling salesmen make more than the CEOs of the company. So I'm not saying it's true, but I'm saying that's the belief. Obviously kids like consistency. So there are responsibilities. I'm not trying to say that we don't have responsibilities, but how many of our limitations are self-imposed? That's the question. And to each their own. Some people believe they can't do anything because their wife won't let them, or their parents won't let them, or their girlfriend or their boyfriend won't let them. And it's like, that's a creation. That's what Wayne Dyer said. Every time you say somebody won't let me do something, that's a creation. It's your creation. And it's being imposed on your life. So something to look at. Here's another thing. Let's go way out. Let's go out into the harbor, okay? Let's go out into metaphysics land. Now, let's say, and this is going to be such a stretch, but follow with me. Let's say that the law of attraction is real, okay? Let's say it's real, and let's say that it operates like gravity. If it operated like magnetism, then it would be like, well, you attract the opposite of what you want. So it'd be like, well, if you think about a check and then you'll get debt. Or the vice versa, like, well, think about debt and you'll get a check. That's magnetism. You're operating, you know, you're getting the opposite. And for some people, you might think that maybe that's the way it works for you. So kind of like when people believe, well, every time something it's going well, something bad's got to happen. You know, that might be, I don't know, that might be just self-sabotage, misusing the secret, or maybe it's magnetic, I don't know. So here's the thing. If the secret is true and it operates on like attracts alike, meaning what I am, you know, not what I think or what I say, but what I am, what frequency I'm on is what I attract. Okay, so if like attracts alike, and the earth is gravitational, has this huge gravitational pull, it will attract meteors because they are made of earth as well, which it does. It will attract things like the moon, which it did, and here's the moon. Because they are massive, and the earth is massive. I'm not even talking specifically that like of what they're made of, that the earth's made of rock and that meteors are made of rock, because comets are made of ice, and comets can be trapped in Earth's gravitational pull just the same. It's not the same matter, but it's the same idea. They all have mass, okay? Okay, so let's copy-paste metaphysics, or the physics into the metaphysics, okay? So, as above, so below. What exists in physics can also exist in metaphysics. And what's funny is gravity is invisible, yet we know it's here. So the gravitational pull, or the attractive energy, the law of attraction, if it operates on the same premise, same physical premise as gravity, that would mean that your mass, and this is metaphysical, not your physical body, metaphysically, that means we have a mass, right? That you can't attract something in the physical world without mass. Well, what if that's the same in the metaphysical world? And what if we use Toltec reasoning, right? Toltec shamanism to explain this on a deeper level. So let me explain. Let's just say, for argument's sake, everybody is born with a, I'll take an arbitrary number. Let's say all men are created equal. Let's say that's true. All men and women are born, and we all have a certain amount of mass when we're born, metaphysically. Like, our aura weighs, say, 10. I don't know what unit of measurement. Let's call it E. 10E. 10 energies. Let's say we're all born, and we all have 10E when we're born. Okay, so the Toltecs have this concept called cultivating personal power. And let's say your personal power is measured by this mass, okay? And let's say, as you grow up, you can make detrimental decisions or you can make beneficial decisions. Kind of like what you do with your money. You can spend it on, squander it on things like consumables and things that depreciate over time, like food, cocaine, cars, whatever. Or you can invest it in things that, like your 401k, where it doesn't go away, and in fact it's going to be bigger next year. So just like you cultivate wealth, let's say you can cultivate power, right? Energy, karma, whatever you want to call it, okay? Prana. So let's say we have this ability. Let's just say for a second this concept is real, and you have the ability to cultivate this thing. Now, people who, in this, and I'm saying this as a recovered addict, so I'm just using this as an example. Let's say people who invest their time and effort into things like heroin and meth are squandering their power, right? They could be out writing books. They could be out building orphanages. They could be helping their mom with her garden. It's like a million other things. They could be reading books. They could be doing anything else with their time, yet they're spending their time poisoning themselves, right? Killing their body, wasting their time, their effort, and their money on this activity, right? Known as addiction, which I've done. And not to say it's not a spiritual experience to go in and out of it, but you might die, or worse, you don't die, you just get like hepatitis or, you know, some terrible, or AIDS or something, and then you don't die and you just remain sick for the rest of your life, which is like a terrible, it's just like a sad way to spend your life and a lot of energy wasted. Right? So just like money, it's like, okay, well, you're keeping the lights on, but you're not becoming wealthy. So spiritually, it's like draining instead of becoming spiritually wealthy. Okay. So maybe that's why they call people stars. People that have amassed great popularity and wealth and things of that nature. Not to say that's a measure of success, because to some people it's very frivolous, but let's just, for argument's sake, let's say that becoming a Hollywood star is in another universe, another dimension, another reality. Let's just say it also automatically grants you like safe passage to, the spiritual realm, okay? Here it doesn't, but there it does, okay? So becoming a star would be a very good thing. How are stars born? Well, stars are all born, you know, in these nurseries called nebulas, where I don't know how they form, but I assume just like one atom starts spinning and then the rest of them collect and then, you know, it starts to swirl and gain mass and eventually it just turns into a star. It's really weird. I don't get it. But yet, stars are born every day, every second. Well, aren't we the same? Like, let's just say the second you're born, you have X amount of mass, and over time, spiritually, you get more and more and more, and you become this star. What's interesting is they say, like, big stars die young. Like, in physics, big stars, the bigger the star, the faster they burn through the fuel, and the sooner they die. And they explode in these magnificent explosions known as novas, supernovas, and hypernovas, okay? All right, so let's rewind before anything explodes or dies. Let's go back to where everybody is a star, okay? So now you are a star. What are you doing? You're gaining mass. You're gaining the ability to attract more things. Maybe you're attracting more opportunities. Maybe you're attracting the perfect mate. Maybe you're attracting the right place to live. Maybe you're attracting the next person to sign your book or your album or whatever. That would mean that it's not just blind luck, which would mean that a lot of these self-development courses talking about developing yourself, like raising your vibration and through conscious speaking and thought and action. What if in psychologically, yes, they're having an effect, and biologically they're having a measurable effect on your brain, because your brain is now creating more beneficial chemicals like serotonin and dopamine and epinephrine. Okay, so we've got that aside. Metaphysically speaking, what if the self-development programs are actually helping and literally helping us build our, cultivate our personal power, building our E from 10 when we were born up to 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000, whatever that is, to make attraction easier. Now going back to travel, what happens when something in mass starts to move? It gains force. So maybe this is why the guy that never left your hometown never made anything of his life, because he never cultivated his personal power and he never moved. And what if those two things are extremely important to creating the life that you want? So now we're talking about how the metaphysics are now physically affecting your actual reality. What if this is true? I mean, even if it wasn't true, you'd just start making better decisions. You'd probably just feel better. But what if you felt better and you started getting better results and you started to get a hang of this whole cultivating your personal power thing? That could be kind of cool. So to me, traveling has an emotional benefit, a mental benefit, a physical benefit, and a spiritual benefit. And I could show you on paper, like you look at my bank statements and you coincide them, you lay them over like blueprints over every time that I went on a big, like on a trip. I always make more money when I'm moving. I swear it's because my mass is moving. Like if you fire a tennis ball at a wall at 100 miles an hour and you fire a cannonball, something that has more mass, at that same wall, it's gonna go right through it. Tennis ball is going to bounce off. So maybe that's why people talk about momentum and movement and focus and drive, because metaphorically / metaphysically they're talking about breaking through barriers takes movement, not just thinking about it or talking about it, but actually getting up out of your seat. It's like how many people live in Ohio and wanted to become an actor and they had to go move to LA or move to New York, or you want to become a world-class Juilliard student, you've got to move. You want to, you want to build rockets like Elon Musk, you've got to move. You got to move metal into the sky. You've got to move people. You've got to move resources. Movement, I know, is a very masculine thing, like in the yin-yang respect. I'm not saying it's male or female, but I'm saying it's a masculine energy. Like, so to like sit and meditate and be still is a like yin or feminine energy. And to move and have direction and focus and drive, that's a yang or masculine. And they both have their place. This is also why my theory is that, I don't know, my life gets better when I move. And quite frankly, I get pretty depressed when I think I'm living in this one place for the rest of my life, just living out this routine. I mean, the Toltec shaman talk about how routine is just death. Routine is a slow death. It's a slow suicide. I'm not saying talking down about stability, but when our brain gets into a routine and like neurons, literally neurons start to die off because you wake up the same day, same time every day, you drive the same way to work, eat the same meals, go home at the same time, watch the same show, eat the same meal at night, go to bed at the same time. Like, yeah, I think for a year or two that could be beneficial, but I think after 40 years, what's the difference, you know, between that and just not being here? unless you're like, I don't know, volunteering somewhere and, I don't know, maybe you're coaching kids football. Doing something for the community. I don't know. But for me, my creative mind's always moving. And I think it wants to move. And sometimes if my body's not moving, I start to get depressed. And I think it's just like my body's catching up with my mind right now. And I feel more at peace when I'm going somewhere than when I'm just like sitting at home.